And we sat down. You know, there was so much commotion because the other devotees wanted to get on with Prabhupada, so they were. So we're sitting there, and I'm sitting next to Prabhupada. And so he said, "So there's some prasad." And I went, "Oh God, Prabhupada wants prasadam. What am I going to do with this prasadam?" And, you know, and then I had this bag of oranges that some devotee had given me on, you know, in that commotion. Just somebody handed me a bag of oranges for the plane. So they, you know, I said, "There's some oranges, Prabhupada." So I said, "Orange is nice." So I took the orange out, and then I asked the students to give me a knife, and so I cut the orange for Prabhupada, and then I put it on a napkin there. I tried to do everything as nicely as I could, and I was just shaking like a leaf. But they're probably just kind of watching me, you know. Then I put the orange on his there. I said, "Prasadam." So he took the orange and then he sucked on it. You know, Prabhupada would only suck the oranges. He wouldn't chew it, just sucked on it, and then he put it down. He sucked maybe 4 or 5 sections of orange like that. He says, "That is enough." So then I was just there. You know. And so then I took the thing and I put it on my plate, in my place. I just thought, this is just, you know, old orange peels. So Prabhupada said, "So you're not going to take prasadam?" There was no oranges left. I cut them all up, you know. "You're not going to take prasadam?" I said, "There's no more prasadam." "There's no more prasadam, Prabhupada." So Prabhupada looked at me and he said, "There's maha prasadam." And I went, So I was, you know, when Prabhupada said maha prasadam, I said, what a fool I was. My spiritual master had eaten these oranges and he's offering them to me. And I'm just sitting like a fool, like an idiot. So in my, you know, newfound enthusiasm, I took 2 oranges. And you know, they were so bitter. I mean, not bitter is the word, they were so pungent. My eyes started watering, like these tears started. I was chewing the peel, the rind. I'm thinking, "Wow, you know, what I should have done is just taken and sucked the orange where Prabhupada had sucked it. You know, I just took the whole thing, I chewed it. Oh, my lips are burning. My eyes, gosh, I'm just doing the best I can." Thinking, "Mahab Prasadam." And then I open my eyes, I look at Prabhupada, he's like this. His eyes were wide open. I have to say, "What are you doing?" And then I tried to speak. "No, pursue!" Then Prabhupada just went, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." Yeah, disciples I have. "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna." So then I got the idea, you know. I swallowed the rind. God, my esophagus, my stomach's just like on fire. There's a couple left, and I just, you know, I picked them up and started sucking them. Probably wouldn't even look at me then, yes. Looking out the window, you know. I wanted to show I'm not such a stupid disciple. I was sucking it a long time. It still doesn't look, so I said, okay, I had my chance. So then Pradyumna came on the plane. And so I got up and moved over. Prabhupada was in the middle, and then Pradyumna sat on the aisle, and I sat on the next aisle. And then, so, you know, boom, the plane, everybody comes on. We're all ready to go. And Prabhupada's so sublime, you know, he's just, the whole time, he's just, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." He wasn't affected by anything. I was just like tired, cramped, moved. Ah, my lips were burning. And Prabhupada just said, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." He was always chanting Prabhupada. This is one thing. Kirtana Vyasari. He's always chanting it. "He nam, ni nam, nam. Yikivana nashteyu, nashteyu, nashteyu." Or he was saying, "Jindamani, bakadasadu, kalpaviksha, laksha, abhiteshu, shudabhiyu, rabhipailantam." He was always chanting. Whenever you were walking with him, he was always chanting. So the plane took off. And it's going higher and higher. And then they serve some kind of refreshments or something. And then, there's so many nice stories, I don't know if I can get them all in. You're willing to stay up. The plane's going. And then, you may have read this one. So then, you know, the lights go out and they put the movie screen up. So then, you know, oh, this Maya, I'm going to show my spiritual master I don't watch movies. So I took my Bhagavad Gita and I started reading my Gita. I started chanting, Sarva Dharmam Paricca Ca Mami Kamsa. I'm looking to see, make sure Prabhupada will see me that I'm not watching the movie. You know? And the movie hadn't started, but Prabhupada's just chanting. I'm trying to chant louder so he'll see me. Mami kam saranam braja ham tam sabapalib yo muksisimas. I was sitting next to this lady, right? She's trying to read her magazine. She's got these glasses, you know. She took her glasses down. She's like, just sitting there, this nut the whole flight, you know? Mami kam saranam. Oh, excuse me. I said, that's all right. It's not too much noise. Okay. Excuse me. And I gave up. So then the movie comes on. It's about Charlie Chaplin. So then I'm thinking, oh, this is really Maya, Charlie Chaplin. Mommy, come. Tum sa pa 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 yo. Dehino. Oh, Maya. This lady, she, that look at the lady, she's going. She just went. She said, no, what is it? Are you watching the movie or are you reading the book? So then, you know, I was looking and then and I thought, anyway, I'm really trying. So I managed for 3 minutes to look at the book. And I said, now, let's see, Prabhupada's watching me. I looked over and Prabhupada was watching the movie. And he was laughing, like really laughing. And I'm going, yeah, jai. I'm watching the whole movie, you know. I saw where Charlie Chaplin, you know, he's dancing and he sits down, he goes to the toilet or something, and the part of his pants gets ripped off or something. So then he just rips the whole thing off and he comes back to the dance hall and then he's dancing. Everyone thinks that's great, you know, so they rip their coattails off too. So then one time Prabhupada told us in London, he said, so he recounted the same movie. He said, so I have seen one movie of Charlie Chaplin. He has done this crazy thing. Everyone is following. So he said, you can also go on Sankirtan. He said, you can wear Nisringa masks. And all of London will wear Nisringa masks. Told that in London. You can wear Nisringa masks. And everyone in London will wear Nisringa masks. I don't know why he thought of Nisringa mask, but that was... So, and we're watching the movie, you know, and then I keep looking, sure enough, probably in the whole movie, the movie's over, you know. And then all of a sudden, I thought we weren't supposed to watch movies. I was thinking to myself. But I was, anyway, I better ask, better find out if it's okay. I mean, why was Prabhupada doing it? So then I said to Padumna, I said, psst, psst, I want to speak to you in the back of the plane. So he came back there and I said, I'm bewildered now. We're not supposed to watch movies, but we were watching Charlie Chaplin. Even Prabhupada was watching. So what's going on? He said, gosh, I don't know. It was a great movie though, wasn't it? I said, yeah. But I don't want to disobey my spiritual master. I said, I'll go ask Prabhupada. So he went, I saw him speak. Prabhupada was just kind of mildly laughing, and he gave some answer. And then Pradyumna came back. He had this whole thing just for me. Pradyumna would ask him. Prabhupada probably knew it. I was asking at the back. I was too afraid to come ask him personally. So I'm asking someone else to ask. So then he comes back and he's got a big smile on his face. I said, I knew Prabhupada's got the right answer. I said, I know he's going to tell me the right thing. So then he said, no, Prabhupada said it's all right. He said, Krishna is the original in everything. Krishna's the source of everything. So when anything's very original, we can see Krishna there. So he said, Prabhupada told me that when he was a young boy, he always appreciated the humor of Charlie Chaplin. It's so original. Everyone has taken their humor from Charlie Chaplin. So he said, in this way, Prabhupada said, I was seeing Krishna in Charlie Chaplin. So I said, well, that's a good answer for Prabhupada, but it doesn't really sit for me. But it made sense to me that Prabhupada was seeing the original in Charlie Chaplin's humor. He was seeing Krishna because that's Charlie Chaplin's humor was very original. Even since then, no one's actually as funny as him. So I thought, that's a great answer. That's a great answer. I went back, more faith in my spiritual master. So then, I don't remember the rest of the plane ride, but I definitely remember when we got to London, that we arrived, there was a wonderful reception. The receptions were always wonderful, and Shyam Sundar was there, and Malati and Guru Das, all the originals. And then I was thinking, boy, I can't wait to go to the temple and see Radha Lundaneswara and see my spiritual master preach, you know, in England. And there's going to be some really good prasadam there. There's going to be a big feast and a big kirtan. This was so enthusiastic. And then, but one of Prabhupada's bags was missing. You know the story? No? One of Prabhupada's bags was missing. So Shyamasundar came up and said, one of Prabhupada's bags is missing. You know, you have to stay back and wait for it. I just, no. I don't want to go to the temple. I want to see the reception. I want to hear the class. I want to see the deities. I want to take prasadam. He said, no, someone's got to stay. You flew on the plane. You stay here and wait for the bag. It's missing. So everyone left. And it was a dark, rainy day. Cold. And I just sat down. I said, oh, God, I'm all alone. The karmis are there. No bag. They know where the bag was. Nobody knew where the bag was. At 3-4 hours, I'm there. Trying to wait, you know, if they can locate it. Finally, they find it. It's what a huge bag. All of Prabhupada's books he used to translate, Vishnu Thakavati Thakur, Sridhar Swami, different Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He used to carry these around for his translation. That bag was heavy. So they gave it to me, and I could hardly move it. And I'm tired. It's a long flight. I'm hungry. I missed the reception. It's raining. You know, I have a couple of pounds. I don't know if I can afford the taxi. I get a taxi, I drag the thing in the back, I sit back there, and the taxi driver even said, he looked back and said, everything okay, mate? Or something like that. Everything all right? Something wrong with you? I said, leave me alone. Sorry, I'm just asking. None of my business. Won't bother you. So where do you want to go? I said, 7 Bury Place. Make it fast. Say, I can't make it fast, boys. There's a lot of traffic out there. It's going to take at least an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. I went, oh no, I missed everything. Stupid suitcase. And then finally, it took an hour and 45 minutes, we get there. Right? I drag that suitcase out of the back of the London taxis. You know, you can thing the back, you can take things out of the back, drag it out, drag it. Couldn't even lift it. Drag it to the door, open the door, 7 Bury Place, walk in. What do I see? All the brahmacharis sitting around. Oh. Was that a good feast or what? Wow. Boy, that sweet rice was really good. I'm going, oh. You know, like those plates are kind of like all like licked, you know, on the licked plates, you know, and there's this yellow from the turmeric and there's a little olive on the side and some spoons here. And then, you know, people are starting to leave. And in other words, everything's over. And I said, hey, is there any prasadam here? Prasadam, who are you? I'm in Dumadas. I came with Prabhupada, and I had to wait for the bag. Sorry, we didn't know you were coming. There's no prasadam. You have to wait for the offering tonight, like 3 hours later. I said, no prasadam. I said, okay, I got this bag of Prabhupada. Can somebody take it upstairs to Prabhupada's room? Oh, Prabhu, we are so full. We ate up to here. This feast was fantastic. The gulab jamuns were out of this. Okay, all right. I'll take it on myself. Oh, the Bury Place temple, it was like this. The stairs, well, it actually went like that, but there was like really, and there were small little steps, and I was so tired and dirty, and I'd take, boom, dragging that suitcase. I said, where's Prabhupada's room? Fourth floor. Boom, boom, boom. Where am I? First floor. God. Can't somebody help me? Sorry, Prabhu, I gotta cook the offering. I gotta run. Okay. boom, boom, boom. I don't know how long it took me to get that suitcase. I got to the fourth floor. We were spinning. My head was spinning. I was sweating. And so then I saw it. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I said, this is the room. So, you know, being a neophyte devotee I am, I didn't even think to knock on my spiritual master's door. I just opened the door, turned around backwards. I was dragging the suitcase in, cursing. Suitcase. And I heard this voice, watch out for Prabhupada. And I went, oh no, I did it again. And I turned around and Prabhupada was right in front of me with a big smile on his face. And, you know, there's that term, hit the deck. Boy, and I hit danda, boom, I hit the ground right next to Prabhupada's feet. And there's these two lotus feet right there. I was thinking, jai. And I went for my obeisances. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna. I feel like, you know, I made it back to the Godhead. Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti. And all of a sudden, like this, whack, on my back, right here. It's etched in my mind forever. You may not see it, but as far as I'm concerned, it's like a transcendental scar. Slap on the back so hard. Prabhupada was so strong. He was. We'd go on morning walks and Prabhupada would outwalk all of us. We were young boys and Prabhupada just walking, you know. So much transcendental strength. He hit me so hard, he practically knocked the wind out of me. Namo, Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Padaya. So I didn't know if like Prabhupada was angry with me or what, because that slap was hard. It was like, you know, so I didn't know. I just froze on the ground. It was a long time, you know. It seemed like eternity to me. Then I knew the feet went away, and then I got up, and the Prabhupada wasn't there. He'd gone into the bathroom. So his servant was there, Nanda Kumar. So Nanda Kumar, he was standing there, and his eyes were like this, and his mouth, wow! He said, I never saw Prabhupada do that to anyone before. I said, what happened? He said, he slapped you on the back. I said, yeah, I know. And the Prabhupada had said something, but I couldn't hear it because I was on the ground. And I was gasping for breath. So I said, what did he say? He said, it's wonderful what he said. He said the most amazing thing. I said, what did he say? He said, he told you, so much endeavor in this material world. So much endeavor in this material world, but when I take you back to Godhead, everything will be easy and sublime. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. Then I always think of that, you know, like I said before, sometimes, you know, something might come up, you're on Sankirtan, and it may be a difficult moment or something. And I just remember, whack! So much endeavor in this material world, but when I take you back to Godhead, everything will be easy and sublime. Then you think, so, then if that's there, then, of course, that benediction is there for all of us. Because by following Prabhupada's instructions, we can become fixed up and, you know, go back to Godhead. So what else is there to do? We just give our life to his mission. That's all. If he says so much endeavor, he was appreciating. You know, he knew that what it was to get that suitcase, I guess, from the airport to his room. So he said, so much endeavor. But when I take you back to Godhead, everything will be easy and sublime. So we have that promise from Śrīla Prabhupāda that if we just keep pushing on this movement, like I said, he told me earlier that, you know, When did I ever say this preaching is easy? So then, you know, when it really gets tough, I think, well, who cares? Just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And in the end, we have that sublime reward, although we don't want a reward. We have that sublime reward from Srila Prabhupada that he'll take us back to Godhead where everything will be easy and sublime. What more could you want to hear from Srila Prabhupada? So that, again, that was another wonderful, wonderful benediction. And then we just sat there, and I said to Nanda Kumar, I said, three times, say it again. Tell me what Prabhupada said. He said, it was wonderful, wasn't it? So much endeavor in this material world, but when I take you back to God, everything will be sublime. So then I think, what else is there to do? Just keep pushing on this movement. Actually, that's all a devotee lives for, because if we actually surrender to Prabhupada, we surrender to this movement, we surrender to our spiritual master, then we very quickly lose our taste for this material world. That's the sign that we're making progress, that we lose our taste for this material world. Everything becomes pale in comparison to that Param Drishta Nivartante that we get by serving this movement. So what do we have to remain here for? Like Lord Chaitanya said, someone said, you have so much prema, so much love. And Lord Chaitanya said, if I had love, I wouldn't be here. If I had love, I wouldn't be in this material world. This is those who have prema in the spiritual world. He said, that was his humility. So similarly, if you really think about it, what is left for us here? We've got the mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord. We have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. We have so much wonderful service. We have prasadam. We have so many nice things. What is left for us in this world? Why would we stay in this world? It's just an ugly place. Just here for people who want to satisfy their selfish ambitions, their gross material desires. What's left? So then we should just go back to Godhead. But we don't go back to Godhead because we have the mission of our spiritual master to fulfill. That's why we have to stay here. That's our only life and soul. It's the only reason we're staying in this world. Just to fulfill the mission of Srila Prabhupada, Harikesh Maharaj, Sotra Maharaj. And don't know who else is initiating here. That's a devotee's life. So when you think of it like that, that is the end result, that they'll take us back to Godhead and keep serving. So then we had a Ratha Yatra festival, and then I went across the channel with Bhagavan to Paris. I think I told that story here. When I walked in the Paris temple, the altar fell down. The devotees had built this really weird altar, and it's just a couple sticks and some stones and crashed, and I went, oh God, where have I come? But after some time, then Prabhupada came there also. He came to Fontenay-aux-Roses. That was our first temple in Paris. It's really hard for me to remember what happened there. But then later, Prabhupada installed Radha Parasishwara. That was amazing. He was sitting on the Vyasasan. And the deities, we had the deities in this big metal bucket, Radha and Krishna, in a metal bucket. Big, one of those round kind of bathing things people use. Big, like that. And we were bathing them. And to me, they just looked like, you know, they didn't look like deities yet because they weren't installed. I mean, that's the way my mentality was. They weren't dressed. They didn't look like deities. They looked like something out of the shop. But then there was this one point where they were bathing the deities with this yogurt substance, bathing Radha and Krishna. The kirtan was getting really nice, real sweet. And then Radharani, in the marble, there's this pink spot here on her face, like a little rose. But it looked like a... Because in the substance, they had the rose petals, so it looked like a rose petal got stuck there. It wasn't coming off. So Prabhupada got off the Vyasasan, you know, this is amazing. He's watching the installation ceremony. At one point, he gets off the Vyasasana. He walks all the way across the temple room, and he puts his finger on right around his face. He starts massaging her face here, because he thought that something was stuck there, or there was some color there. So he got off, and there's even a photo of it. It's very deftly, he's like this, rubbing here. And just the way he did it, I was thinking, here's Radharani. I could see that, you know, Prabhupada was seeing Radharani. And from that moment on, those deities, you know, just, they were very special because I could see that Prabhupada had a very intimate relationship with them. He wasn't seeing statue, he was seeing Radha. And very carefully, he wasn't just, you know, trying to get something off the wall. With so much love and devotion, he was massaging her face there, and it didn't come. So then he realized, so he went back. And that stays very strong impression in my mind, this very powerful impression in my mind. So next year he came back. And we had a marathon for Prabhupada's arrival. We redid the whole temple again. And Prabhupada came, and it was very ecstatic. And myself and one of the devotees, it was a book distribution marathon. We won the marathon. We the first came in first and second. So we got the privilege of bathing Prabhupada's feet. So we went out and did more books and got more Lakshmi together, right? And we bought a beautiful silver bowl. We had a plan. Big silver bowl like this. You know, usually this has a little thing to bathe Prabhupada's feet, you know, a little pitcher. We got a big pitcher and a big bowl. And you know, we were upstairs and the Prabhupada came, we had the water temperature perfect. Everything was, this is how it was. It was just detail. We didn't want the water too hot or too cold for Prabhupada's feet. And we put just the right, we've been experimenting for days, how much rose water to put in, so it just smelled perfect. And how many petals to put in, like that. And little jasmine flowers are there. And then came time for Guru Puja. The conscious was, whoo. See Guru Charana Padma. So we came down, and Prabhupada, he saw, he put his feet out. So we were bathing Prabhupada's feet, holding Prabhupada's feet. I remember that, you know, the water that bathes the feet of the pure devotee is such transcendental potency, right? So we're bathing and massaging and like that, and then we had that water, and we had this plan. The kirtan was still roaring. We made a dash for it. And me and another devotee's name was Bhugarbha. You ever meet Bhugarbha? We ran upstairs to the first floor where there was an office. And as soon as the devotees saw us taking off with that Charanamrita from Prabhupada's feet, about 100 devotees chased after us. They ran up the stairs, and we ran to the first floor, and we ran in the office, and we slammed the door, boom, like that, held it like that, and locked it. And then, boom, 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 the devotees ran into the door. They were running up, crashing the door. And they were pounding. Open up! We want some nectar! Open up! So me and Bhugarbha were sitting there. We had a whole plan for months. We were out of the street. You know, we were distributing books and it was tough. We were downtown Paris, hard to stop people. But we were determined that we were going to win that marathon so we could bathe Prabhupada's feet. We used to daydream during lunch hour. We used to go shopping, window shopping. Yeah, we'll buy that silver pitcher, you know. Nah, let's buy that one. That's so expensive. That's all right. We'll get out there and do more books. And then, you know, we'll sit. Where will you sit? You sit there. Okay, I'll sit like, how will you sit? Okay, I'll sit like this. No, I'll sit. I'll put my leg like that, right? Okay, you put that. You have the cup there. Okay, ready? Go. Here's the feet. All right. We used to do the practice runs every day on Sankirtan. Just, you know, this was our constant meditation. We did a lot of books. So then, there we're there until then we boom, 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 help people, and we're sitting down. This is our moment. We're not going to open that door for anybody. We had this big pitcher of water from Prabhupada's feet. There was even like dust floating in the top. We were like connoisseurs. So we had a third cup. I had my cup, which I'd never used. He had his cup. And we had another cup. We put it down, and then I'll say, may I serve you? So he said, yes, please, that would be very nice. To the top, please. There's a roaring kirtan, the Guru Puja is still going on. Takshudan dilo jay tame tame prabhu se hitipya gani rebakasito. Perfect environment, we're thinking, yes, good kirtan down there, right, Bhagavan? Oh, very good kirtan, yes, sir. He said to me, can I pour you some? I said, please, pour me some. We were relishing every second. We worked hard for months on the streets, you know, selling Krishna books, Bhagavatams, you know. This is our meditation. So we took our time. And those devotees, they practically broke that door down. Bang! And they were saying bad words, too. Bang, bang, bang. I said, did you hear that? You know, well, I mean, I guess the door's going like that, you know. I said, did you hear anything? He said, no, I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear anything either. Spill a drop there. We drank that. I mean, that was enough water for about 10 men. I mean, literally, talk about filled to the neck. You couldn't have put another drop in my mouth. There was a couple of drops left, you know. We were thinking, you know, will you take it or I'll take it? He said, let's split it. I said, oh, God. Okay, it's mercy, you know. And we were ready to pop. We drank so much of that water. So then finally I said, I think someone's knocking. He said, really? Open the door then. So I went over to the side, I ended the key, opened the door, and bam, about 15 brahmacharis. They piled in. Where is it? Where's the nectar? The nectar? Srila Prabhupada's downstairs. What more nectar could you want? No, where's the water? Water? I don't know. Bhagavan, what water? He went, he burped. Oh. I don't know any water. There's no water here. Look, there's an empty bucket here. So, Jai. Srila Prabhupada's Chandramrita Key. That explains why I'm still here. There's no other explanation. So, let's see what else in there. Oh, I had to stay back. There were some programs in the area, so I had to stay back and do the cook the feast. That's what I had to do. It was a Sunday. We had two Sunday programs, one at the American University and one at the temple. So the devotee who's the cook, Mother Mondakini, she never got to go with Prabhupada any programs. So the temple president decided, I don't know how I just got myself in these things. He decided that I was going to be the one who cooked the Sunday feast. I never cooked anything in my life. Since before then or since then. So, you know, she made a big thing up real fast. She says, okay, you make the samosas. That's the easy part. I said, samosas, easy part. I think that sabji looks like the easy part. And she said, you do it like this. She was out the door. So I never made anything. I never made baked a potato or anything like that. I didn't know what to do. So I'm trying to follow this recipe. And nobody in the temple. Everybody gone to the university program with Prabhupada. But I'm thinking, well, if I make some nice prasadam, and Prabhupada comes back, he'll take some of that prasadam. And then I can do some service for him. And then his remnants, I'll take his remnants. So I'm working really hard. And I don't know, you know, I made 30 of them. Now I'm not going to call them samosas. You know, the flour was there, the potatoes, the cauliflowers were there. They look, I don't know, they look something like Greek baklava or something. You know, they were open in different parts, and they were all kinds of funny shapes and colors. A lot of them were black. Some of them were white. Some of them were brown. You know, and I made them in a big pile on a plate. And then Prabhupada's car drove up, so then he came up the stairs like that. I stood in front of the stairs with this big tray of what was supposed to be samosas. I was thinking, you know, Prabhupada's going to accept them. You know. So Prabhupada came, I thought, he's going to take one. He just looked at them and went, and he walked on. That was it. So I was lamenting, oh, I didn't go to the program, I didn't get any Prabhupada's mercy. So then I went upstairs, I snuck upstairs. You weren't supposed to do this. I went upstairs and then Prabhupada's room was, it's a famous painting actually. Prabhupada's sitting with a flower petaled wallpaper behind him. He's sitting very straight in a red sweater next to a low desk. It's in a lot of the books. As a picture of Prabhupada in the books. It's a painting done from a photo of that room that was at our Fontenay Rose Temple. So Prabhupada was there and I just kind of looked in. And then he noticed somebody's looking, so I went back like that. And then I went again. I just wanted to look at him. So I'm looking, and then he notices, so then he looks up, and I go around the wall like that, you know, the door, so he doesn't see me. So he was smart. He just stayed looking at the door, so I went around. Oh! So Prabhupada said, all right, come on. He just kind of sensed I wanted some mercy. All right, come on. They took a sweet ball. We always had a tray of sweet balls and Prabhupada's. So he said, all right, come on. And he went, I was holding that sweet ball, I was just in shock. He said, take prasadam. Oh, yeah. He said, all right, that's all. Go ahead and go. Some special mercy. And every morning, Prabhupada would come down, and there was this, me and Bhagarbha, now we were friends, and we had to try to remember it, but we had this competition. Prabhupada would come into the temple room to give class, and he had his little slippers, which he just slipped into and he'd slip out of. They had no heel on them. So then he came, and he would just for a moment, he would stand in front of the door there, and he'd just kind of hold his slippers, he'd slide out, and he'd walk in. And afterwards, he would come, and then you'd help him put his feet back in the slippers. So every morning, Bhagarbha was there before me, and he had the slippers. Or he was there to get the slippers. Prabhupada would come, and Bhagarbha would just hold the slippers, and Prabhupada would just, without touching anything, Prabhupada would just step out, and Bhagarbha would hold those slippers all of class, and then he'd put them back down. I was getting really envious. I wanted to touch Prabhupada's feet. So I had this plan. So then Bhagarbha was there, Prabhupada came, and he got the slippers, right? And then Prabhupada gave the class that morning, it's about the sixth day or something. And then Prabhupada got off the Vyasasana and grabbed the slippers. Bhagarbha was so angry. I said, you had them for 6 days, okay? So then Prabhupada came, and then he paused longer than usual. I said, maybe I'm doing something wrong. So then Prabhupada put his hand on my head like that, just like that, for a long time. And I knew it, and the whole everything froze. Like you could hear a pin drop. There was kind of chatter and talking. Everyone just stopped talking, just like that. And then Prabhupada slipped in, and then Himavati, Hansaduta was her Himavati, she said, look, Prabhupada's rubbing his head. Yeah, and then Prabhupada went, all right, and then he slippers like that. So I said to Bhagarbha, ha, ha, ha. But one day Prabhupada, he must have just been, it wasn't especially for me, I don't think. He was just balancing himself a little bit, so he found my head. It wasn't a big thing. But I don't know how people saw it, I guess there are different angles. Well, anything Prabhupada did, we saw was really special, He just, so then I got that here, and I got that here. And I'm waiting for more, here somewhere. There's a few other little things, but maybe I'll just tell one more story because it is a bit late. I have to go back in the studio. But I'll tell you a story that, a pastime, which, can you remember anything else that I told before about Prabhupada, Rita? I can't remember. I traveled with Prabhupada in Italy, we were in Rome, Geneva. Yeah, if I remember something, I'll put it in a class. I'll tell you one really nice pastime. It didn't happen to me directly, but it had a very big effect on me. It's a wonderful story, wonderful way to end the evening, Prabhupada Lila. Prabhupada Lilamrita. Actually, talking about Prabhupada is our favorite subject. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his favorite book was Chaitanya Charitamrita, because it was the advanced understanding of Krishna consciousness, even over Srimad Bhagavatam. So I think for many devotees, their favorite book is Prabhupada Lilamrita, because through Srila Prabhupada we can understand the different personalities, great personalities, the Lord, the mood of devotional service, and just Prabhupada's our life and soul. He's the reason that we're all here. So for many devotees, myself included, this is the most relishable katha. Prabhupada Katha. And Prabhupada has so many pastimes. And if we're fortunate that someday we'll be with Prabhupada, all of us, Prabhupada said, one devotee said, is this devotee going back to Godhead? And Prabhupada said, he's going. Tamal is going. Giriraj is going. He said, this devotee, that devotee. We were all going. We're all going back to the spiritual sky. Prabhupada said, we'll have our ISKCON in the spiritual world. So So these type of discussions should just make us develop an intense hankering for Prabhupada's lotus feet, for his mercy. And only then can we begin to understand Shishi Gaur Nithai. Even only then we can begin to understand Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, or Gorkhasordas Babaji Maharaj, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Six Goswamis of Vrindavan. It's all by Prabhupada's mercy. So we should just drink deeply of the nectar of Prabhupada Leela, Prabhupada pastimes. Just that should be our favorite, one of our favorite subjects. I mean, at least I know for many devotees it is, to hear and read Leelamrita. And different pastimes are still coming. Jadarani is writing a book now about her association with Prabhupada, much more vast than mine. And Giriraj Maharaj is writing his books, his memoirs also. Jadarani just told me, just when I left last time, I was speaking with her, and she said, that's a nice story. She said that she was with Prabhupada and she was painting in the 26th Second Avenue, and Prabhupada asked her to paint the super soul in the heart. So she was thinking, for days she was thinking, well, what is he doing? Is he standing? Is he sitting? Is he sleeping? Is he lying down? What's the super soul doing? She didn't know. So she had the intelligence to go ask Prabhupada. So she went into Prabhupada's room. She said, what is the super soul doing? Is he standing or is he lying down, like Mahavishnu? And Prabhupada said, oh, for that, you will have to wait many, many lifetimes to know. And he said, because the yogis, they are meditating on the Lord in the heart. It takes them many, many lifetimes. He said, because your spiritual master is a Vaishnava, and he's very kind to you, I'll tell you now, he's standing. So Jadarani had this realization that what would have taken her millions of lives to realize was realized in an instant because her spiritual master was a pure devotee of the Lord. I'll tell you something else. This is real nice. Sometimes Prabhupada would cook. I remember once he cooked for us in Geneva. There's that famous, I think you have it here, at least in the guest room upstairs, there's a picture of Prabhupada cooking. That's in Geneva. I was right there when Yogeshwara took that photo. Prabhupada was cooking there. So one time, I wasn't personally present for this pastime, but one time Prabhupada was cooking, and he made these really nice kichoris, because Prabhupada loved kichoris. He was called Kachori Mukha, one of his names. He used to have, when his little boy, his little pocket, he used to put, his mother would make lots of kichoris. He'd stuff them in his pockets. He'd eat them all day long. Kachori Mukha. Be a nice name for somebody, right? Kichori Mukha. So, once he made these really nice ones, and he told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said, try this. So Tamal ate that kichori. He said he'd never tasted a kichori like that in his life as a devotee in ISKCON. He said, Prabhupada, that, he said, this kichori is out of this world. And Prabhupada said, yes, this is Mother Yasoda's recipe. Now I ask you, where in the Vedic scriptures will you find, you know, Mother Yasoda's recipe? This is just an insight into Prabhupada's transcendental leela. Somehow or other, he knew Mother Yasoda's recipe. I'm not going to speculate or go any further. I'm just going to tell you. It was almost like a transcendental Freudian slip. You know, when you say the wrong thing, you don't really want to let it out or something, or we call it a Freudian slip in English. You say it. Oh. So Prabhupada said, yes, this is Mother Yasoda's recipe. Oh. Then he went further. He said, Mother Yasoda makes these and she gives them to all the boys when they go out to the forest, and the gopis, they keep them and give them to Krishna. So this is a special Yasoda recipe in Vrindavan. So who is Śrīla Prabhupāda? Who is Śrīla Prabhupāda? Who is this great personality with which we have such an intimate relationship? Because we're serving him. That is love. Love means service. When you love someone, you serve them. You try to do something to please them. So we're all engaged in pleasing Śrīla Prabhupāda. Who is this personality, Śrīla Prabhupāda? And what is our great fortune that brought us to this movement? It's hard to understand. So one last pastime. There was one boy who showed up at our Paris temple one morning. He was a Portuguese boy who didn't speak such good English. And I used to see him because I used to chant my japa outside the temple along Avenue Foch, it's near the Arc de Triomphe. Filthy dirty. And he used to sleep in the bushes along the roadside. He had his green army jacket and his green pants, what must have once been white socks, but they were black, and just these horrible smelling shoes, and like kind of like lice, or he had some kind of skin disease in his hair or something, and he was a little crazy. Maybe not a little crazy, he was out there just by birth or something. And he always had to have like bugs on him. So we nicknamed him Pigpen. After Schultz, is it? He has some cartoon thing. Pigpen's just this little kid who's always dirty. And we nicknamed him Pigpen. Some other, you know, Pigpen became attracted to the devotees. He must have been about 17 years of age. Not a young boy, just a vagabond. And you know, the kind of person everybody just like spit on when they walk by. Nobody give him any attention, and probably tried to beg, and you know, he had some bruises. Probably people beat him sometimes. Because he had a stutter like that, so people would make fun of him. And he was kind of on the block. Just he lived in this kind of area. Didn't go much farther. Because he was kind of retarded or something, it seemed. So he used to come around, and we used to give him food, like just, you know, shove it out the door and close the door kind of thing. He was eating prasadam like that. He was eating prasadam like that. So then, one time Prabhupada came to the temple. And Prabhupada wanted to go on a morning walk. So, you know, Pigpen had been around, so he knew some of the jargon, some of the talk devotees, you know, because he'd been around, he'd stick around a little bit. He'd try to come in, and people would throw him out, push him out, get out of your piggy, you know. I mean, because he was just such an outrageous character, devotees couldn't handle him, and he was always trying to get in, you know. And some devotees would try to talk to him, you know. He got to know the devotees a little bit. So then Prabhupada came, and Pigpen was there for the reception. And poor Pigpen, you know, the devotees just wouldn't let him come for seeing, but we were so ashamed of him, you know. This guy was hanging around the block. So, you know, we just push him back. But he wanted to see Prabhupada. He always, he'd heard about Prabhupada. He wanted to see Prabhupada. Couldn't get close. So one morning, we were on a morning walk, and I was right near Prabhupada, and we were walking. All of a sudden, Pigpen leapt out of the bushes. You know, he had these like filthy blankets and sheets that were just muddy and soiled. And he just woke up and saw Prabhupada. He leapt like the monster, the Loch Ness or something, and he grabbed Prabhupada's feet. And he said, "Prabhupada, mercy, mercy, look at me, mercy." And it just took 10 seconds for the brahmacharis to worked him over. They took him in the bushes. And I said, no, don't do that. They didn't really hurt him. They just kind of messed. They just wanted to impress upon him that you should never do anything like that again. You know, Prabhupada was surprised. Prabhupada was a little shook, you know. He said, "What is that?" And we said, "Pigpen." Yeah. Prabhupada got the idea and went, "Oh, hey, Krishna." I remember the way Prabhupada said it. He didn't say it like we did, you know. He went, "Hare Krishna." There was some tone of concern in his voice. So we went on the walk. And Came back, you know, and then we came in, all of the whole temple was on that walk. Every man, woman, and child was on that. Everyone was talking, that pig pen, that dirty, filthy, you know, touch our spiritual master's feet, ask for mercy, you know. So we got back to the temple, and, you know, we let Prabhupada into the temple room first. So we opened the door and let Prabhupada in, and suddenly Pigpen, he got into the temple because there were no devotees there. He was in the temple. He leapt forward and grabbed both of Prabhupada's feet and started crying, "Mercy! Mercy! Mercy!" And so the temple was said, "Brahmacharis, get him!" And Prabhupada said, "No." It was just like that. "No," Prabhupada said, "No." And then, you know, it was silence, complete silence. And Pigpen was just crying. He was holding Prabhupada's feet, just crying. "Mercy, Prabhupada, please, see me." He said, he couldn't speak, he was going to "See me. See me, look how I am, so dirty. My heart also dirty, please." Prabhupada just stood there. It must have been 6 minutes. We were dumbfounded. And Prabhupada was just rubbing his head. "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna." And Pigpen was shaking, crying, and Prabhupada was just rubbing his head. He said, "All right, that's enough." And then Pigpen backed off, sat against the wall. Prabhupada said, "Let him stay." We felt so ashamed, you know. Prabhupada had just absorbed, you know, his karma. And he would give it simultaneously through his feet. This is my understanding. And rubbing his head, he was giving him mercy. So much compassion. I was thinking afterwards, just like Lord Chaitanya had embraced Jagai and Madhai. When Lord Chaitanya embraced Jagai and Madhai, Lord Gauranga was golden, but his body turned black from absorbing the sins of Jagai and Madhai. His body looked, the devotees were stunned. By absorbing the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madhai, and Mahaprabhu said, "Anyone who ever offends a Vaishnava will get the full manifestation of these sinful reactions of Jagai and Madhai upon their head after that. Anyone who offends a Vaishnava, he'll get this karma of Jagai and Madhai." And then his body turned golden again. So Prabhupada did some Pigpen, he got some mercy. And you know, we were shocked. This is a long time Prabhupada stood there. A long time. And he's just rubbing his head. "Hare Krishna." Prabhupada Shaniyasrapa, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare." Pigpen's crying, see me, I remember, see me." So Pigpen was, you know, against the wall, and Prabhupada was giving class, and I kept looking over at Pigpen, and Pigpen was, you know, he was like listening to Prabhupada's class. I was going, "You know, Pigpen, he's listening to Prabhupada's class." Pigpen listening to Prabhupada's class. So then, you know, Prabhupada was talking about book distribution in that class. He said, "Please distribute these books all over the world." And Pigpen was, "Okay." He was like that. "Yeah. Oh. Okay." So after the class, Pigpen was just sitting there. But he got some beads. "Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna." He was trying to, but he was stuttered and he was a little retarded. And we let him sit there for a while, you know. But something changed. So nobody was going to touch him. He was Prabhupada's man. As far as we were concerned, he was Prabhupada's man now. So the temple president said, "All right, take him upstairs and scrub him." So, you know, devotees, you know, they took him upstairs. They bathed him. They said, like, rivers of dirt were going down the drain. Rivers, you know. They put him in some bhakta pants and some clothes, you know. But he was still, you know, a bit mad. So then, you know, Prabhupada left. That was it. Prabhupada left, but Pigpen remained. We were stuck with this Pigpen, you know. But, you know, everyone kind of liked him now because he was the special recipient of Prabhupada's mercy. So he's kind of like our, what do you call that when you have like a mascot? Kind of our mascot. We kind of kept him around. But still, you know, we weren't so kind to him. And then one day, you know, he was the one, he'd wash the pots, he'd clean the toilets, things like that. And all the time, he was getting it. Krishna, Krishna, like that. One day, he just disappeared. He wasn't there. And the person in the go down where the books were, he said, some books are missing. Someone stole them. Because we were really careful about the books. Even one book was misplaced. The books were missing. So then we figured Pigpen stole the books. He was going to try to sell the books to get money. So that, you know, we were going to call the police. But we were all engaged in the service. So that night, you know, we were all having Bhagavad Gita class or something. And then Pigpen walked in. And my reaction was, you know, Pigpen. There's no books. But he had this money in his hand. So he came and he just gave it to the temple president and sat down. So then later we walked over and he said, what happened? He said, books, Prabhupada, books. Somehow or other, even with his stutter and his kind of retarded nature, he distributed, you know, like 1,000 francs of books, like $200 worth of books. And then we were thinking, you know, maybe cheated or something like that. So then the next day he wanted to go out. So we said, no, you can't go out. You just cheated, Pigpen. You just somehow you sold those books. I don't know what you did. So then, you know, we took him on our daily Sankirtan party around Paris. He came in. He was like the one who sat in the back and cleaned the truck and gave the books out to the devotees. And we were in the parking lots. And when they were doing the parking lots, I was in a parking lot, you know, near Paris. And Pigpen was like, you know, arranging the books. And I saw him get out of the car. And, oh, God, this guy's going to... He went out. He started distributing books. And I was just stunned. I said, he did. He does distribute books. How is it possible? But he was so sincere, you know. So I walked up to him and I said, you know, I said, what's going on? I said, what's happening here? He said, Prabhupada, mercy. And Prabhupada, he want me to distribute books in class. He said in class. He said, remember that class? And I'm going, yeah, yeah. Come on, keep telling me, Pigpen. Keep telling me about it, you know. He was like my guru, you know, Pigpen. He's like a shiksha guru. I said, come on. He said, Prabhupada, so much mercy giving. He said, we have to distribute books. We have to pay Prabhupada back. And I'm thinking, this devotee knows so much more about Krishna consciousness than I do. He's so much more deep. I said, that's because he got the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So if I worked very hard like him and tried to give these books out, then I can get a drop of that mercy that he got from Prabhupada. So that's Pigpen. He went on to become one of the biggest book distributors in Europe. He got initiated. His name was Rasada. You ever meet Rasada? His brother's name was Gorachandra. He became a devotee. His brother came to take him back to Portugal. He said, where's that mad little urchin brother of mine? He walked in the temple and his brother sold him a book. And Pigpen, you know, he learned to speak quite well, and he wasn't so crazy anymore. He changed, and everyone loved him. Because everyone felt they had something to learn from him. That, you know, he was so humble, and like, you know, even on Sundays he was out just, you know, we'd work hard all week, but he'd take a book bag out and go out on Sunday. John Mastami, Gaurapuram, you couldn't keep him away. And all he could say was, Prabhupada's mercy. Because he knew what was Prabhupada's mercy. He received it. He was delivered by some special kripa. He got some special kripa. So he was always distributing books. Honest devotee, never spend anything for himself. He'd only take, you know, clothes thrown away by devotees. Never took too much prasadam, and just always cleaning, very respectful of the devotees. And I kept thinking, who is this person? I said, maybe he was whoever he was before, but who is he now by the mercy of a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada? So he became a big book distributor in his funny old bhakti pants. He got initiated, Rasada Das. And he was so happy when he got initiated. He chanted his bees like, you know, Prabhupada's mercy. Everything was Prabhupada to him, you know, Prabhupada's mercy, Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's prasadam. That's all he knew. You know, because somehow when he dove out of the bushes like the Loch Ness monster, you know, Prabhupada saw his intention. And then when he hid himself in the temple and grabbed on those feet, you know, everything was cleansed from his heart. So this, I see it as guru kripa. So we can get that kripa also. You know, maybe we're not so fortunate as Pigpen. maybe I shouldn't use that word anymore, Rasada was, but we just keep, you know, serving this mission, distributing those books, you know, introducing people to Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada wants. He wants, Prabhupada was always like that. He was always result-oriented. He was always saying when he comes, so how many books have gone out? How many devotees have been made? How many temples have been established? This is preaching. It's a very intimate service. And from that we'll get the higher understandings of devotional service. And Pigpen, then Rasada, then he eventually went to America. And I heard he's still distributing books in America. The kind of devotee that you always hanker. You know, he's never a temple president, a sannyasi, GBC. You know. No, but he's just a humble Vaishnava. But the kind of devotee, like Jayananda was like that. Do you ever meet Jayananda? Jayananda, he was a temple president in San Francisco. And but he was so humble, he used to take the garbage out. He just, you know, he'd clean, and he was always like that. So one devotee came to the temple, and he came in the back way, didn't know where the front was, and he saw this man cleaning the garbage cans out. And that man started speaking to him. This devotee who was cleaning the garbage can started speaking to him. And this devotee was so impressed with this devotee's Krishna consciousness, his humility, his realizations, his enthusiasm for service, that he said, he later joined. He said, my realization was, if the garbage man at the Hare Krishna's temple is like this, then what must the rest of the devotees be like? Like, was it Narottam Das Thakur? Some pundits wanted to come and defeat him. So his disciples, they, Sanskrit scholars, they set up as merchants outside of the city. So when the big Digvijay pundit came to defeat Narottam Das Thakur, he first met the merchants outside, and the merchants started speaking to him in Sanskrit, and they got into a discussion. And so deep was their knowledge that this pundit was thinking, if just the ordinary Wallace shopkeepers know so much philosophy and have so much understanding of Sanskrit, what must the great Thakur be like? Narottam Das Thakur. So he left, and there was never any debate between that Digvijay. He left in defeat, humility, but because he met some of his disciples, Narottam Das Thakur's disciples. So Jayananda was like that also, that if you met him, then you were so impressed. So Rasada's like, if you ever get a chance to meet Rasada, then you grab hold of his feet and say, see me, mercy, mercy. Okay. So I think on that note, we'll finish. This is how people would spend their time in Vedic culture. They would come together and speak the glories of Guru and Krishna. And then they would go to bed in Prabhupada, and they would dream of Ramchandra and Mahabharata and things like that. That was Vedic culture. Okay, so thank you for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shisi Gauranitai ki, Nushiva Sangam ki, all the assembled devotees ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.
Can you do the Swami ki? Yeah.